You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I never put much thought into tires in the past. The thought was always to drive what comes on my vehicle. And if I had to replace them, I made my decision based on price. Our friends at Cooper Tires know what they're talking about. Cooper has been an American company since 1914, with more than a century in the tire industry. Each Cooper Tire undergoes rigorous testing and are backed by warranty, so you can trust that they'll last for thousands of miles. The Coopers pride themselves on good merchandise, fair play, and a square deal. Always have and always will. Don't overpay or underbuy. Cooper Tires do what tires should do and cost what tires should cost. All Cooper Tires are backed by a limited warranty, a 45-day test drive warranty, and select products are backed by treadwear mileage warranty, helping to give you confidence on the road. For complete product and warranty details, please visit www.coopertires.com or www.coopertires.ca. And remember, go with the Coopers.
Folks, welcome back to the Crash Course Podcast. Solly here. This episode is from our Scotland trip, July 2018, our Tour of Sauce recap episode. This is about Cullen, one of our surprise gems of the trip. This audio from that podcast has been repurposed for you here in the Crash Course Podcast feed. Enjoy.
The day really turned when we went from Cruden Bay up to Cullen, which was a course that...
Shit, the drive up to Cullen was fantastic. You go through Banff, you go through kind of all these towns, and is it Moray or...
Murray? How the locals pronounce it. It's spelled more like a moray eel.
Yeah. You're kind of, you know, you're up on kind of this northern firth there, and Fraserburgh's over there as well. But the drive up was just like, all right, we're going to a little bit more remote part of Scotland here.
So we're trying as best as we can to kind of talk about the different classes of courses that we've played and you know, are there any similarities? There is nothing like Cullen that any of us, I think, have ever seen in our lives, in that it's a 4,000-yard par 63 golf course that legitimately it's Old Tom Morris, correct? And
correct.
I don't know every single course he designed, but I would say the boldest he's ever designed. It's like, all right, here's a big, huge, mongous rock. Let's have you play over this for this par three.
And they're rock features and formations, like these red rocks that look like they wouldn't be out of place in Colorado or Arizona. It's the shortest true links course in the world.
Is it? Okay.
Too. So it's got all the characteristics of a true links.
But again, you walk off and you don't think, I just played a 4,000-yard course. Like, I just hit, how many 3-irons did
I
just hit?
No, it's a lot. I mean, it's a par 63, but it's just because there's a lot of par 3s. You know, all the holes are full length.
There's like 230, 240-yard par 3s.
Yeah, exactly. That was a paradigm shifter for me. That was the course that I walked around with the biggest smile on my face. I mean, it was just every shot was so incredibly fun. And we played with George, who's the kind of the GM / greenskeeper / just kind of local
/
legend,
two-time
club champ.
So
had kind of a Ben Crenshaw type of club championship run, you know, one when he was younger and then kind of a fluker one later.
So George is from Cullen originally. It's this old fishing town of about 1,000 people up on the coast, and all the fishing is kind of consolidated into another port now. And there's an old railway that runs through and everything. And
they had badass aqueducts running through town.
Yeah. And so it's this sleepy old kind of resort town now. And so George lives down in Aberdeen and drives up 3 times a week. And he's kind of the head. He's like the head of the Greens Committee. They maybe have 100, 150 members. And it's basically a labor of love for him. Like they have two guys to take care of the golf course, and he comes up and he's retired now. He's got two kids and basically goes out and mows the fairways and keeps this place running. And just his passion for the game. Like, I think he thought we were messing with him at first.
We kept saying how much we liked the golf holes, and he was like very skeptical and like, are these guys like messing with this? Are these guys making fun of me a little bit? They're like, no, this is phenomenal.
That was one of the more invigorating. That was possibly the most invigorating round I've ever played.
Yeah, I mean, it was just every shot. Like, you play the first hole, which is kind of whatever. It's just, you know, the greens were kind of shitty. And,
well, I was just going to say, before we even start describing the holes, just get rid of every preconceived notion you have about a golf course, about any following any normal routing, or about the length holes the holes should be, or holes should crisscross, or anything like that. Imagine just a field full of tees and greens and a few hazards here and there, and just what you would imagine to be a really random route through all of these holes. That's like what this place
with
is
gigantic
like.
Rocks strewn about. Well, and then like four holes up on this awesome cliff.
Yeah. The second hole goes up this sheer like cliff face.
It was like 130 yards.
Picture the most uphill shot you've ever
hit. You had a 15-foot tall flag, like pin
like
up there.
It feels like you hit it onto the beach and you have to hit it back up onto the golf hole, basically. It's like the second hole. So this is first of
and
all.
We played with abbreviated bags. We should probably mention
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we played
so
with six clubs.
The mindset was, hey, let's grab six clubs. It's, you know, 4,500 yards. Certainly no need to haul our whole bag around. So we were kind of going in with a casual kind of mindset.
And that's
six clubs is harder than you'd think, too, which we learned.
Yeah. I would say that this is the ultimate spot that Bag Tag Barry is going to be skipping, which is where the glaring our glaring differences will show up the most. I think this is, if you're going to Scotland to just, you know, check the boxes and just try to, you know, really play the who's who of golf courses, you're probably going to skip Cullen, and that would be a travesty.
Yeah.
Because it is, first of all, it's kind of right perfectly halfway between Cruden Bay and Royal Dornick, basically. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And there was a phenomenal looking hotel perched right up on the cliff that I would love to camp out for a while.
The Dolphin Inn, I believe.
I can't remember what it was called.
The Dolphin Inn.
It's the hotel there.
Yeah, it's
there.
The hotel.
Yeah.
But it overlooks the golf course and overlooks the ocean. But it is the absolute perfect place to stop on your way between those two. And I just don't know how you can have much more fun playing.
Well, and it's
playing
kind of
there. It's just, God, it was so good.
The course is, I think George was saying, it gets maybe 10,000 rounds a year, which, you know, maybe a couple thousand from visitors. Like, it's really, you know, not a whole lot of people stop there. And it's the kind of course where, you know, there's not going to be, like, it's not going to exist in 5 or 10 years unless they get a little bit more traction going through there. And I'm, you know, I'm legitimately like, man, if we can get people going through there and giving them a little bit more resources, like if they touch that place up a little bit, it could be, and that's part of its charm, is it's a little bit rough around the edges. But at the same time, if you could, you know, if George had the resources to bring it up to a certain level on the greens and stuff, it could be.
Yeah. And that's, you know, what, providing some context, like it's not, there's not a ton of like great nuance to the green contours or amazing bunkers to play around. It is just like legitimately some of the most screwily fun golf shots. Like legit, like, we got up to the top and I asked George, there's like this green that sits at this rock like little rock swell around these huge cliffs, and I was like, George, are we about to play over like rocks to get to that green? He's like, oh yeah, like that's like the signature. And you hit this shot, it couldn't be more blind, but you're playing over this, I don't even know how to describe this rock, to this green that you have no visual on at all, and it's awesome. It's so much fun.
Yeah, if you want to go and just hit wild ass zany shots and, you know, be able to say that you shot in the 60s and, you know, just have a really good time, like,
it's probably one of the best cross country courses.
Yeah.
Like, you could go out there with, you could go out there and be like, I almost want to do an NLU event out there and just go out there and play 100 holes, and everybody, like, the winner of each hole just makes up the next hole.
Yeah Randy, you had a goal of breaking 80. You succeeded.
Oh, rocked him, baby. Big ego boost. I think Tron and DJ, I think the tee shot on the ninth, par three, was like among your favorite shots on the whole trip.
Yeah, it was what, probably like a 220-yard par three, and you're playing kind of downhill straight back to the ocean. Wind was coming off the ocean a bit, and so the whole thing kind of banks – banks hard left to right. And so Tron and I, you know, we're playing with our six clubs. I forget, you had like a hybrid. I think I had a 3-iron. And you just, you can't fly it there. So you're basically just saying, all right, I'm going to try to punch run a 3-iron up this bank and just kind of hope it runs out. And it, both of them did. And I mean, it's just, God, it's just so fun. So fun.
And then we get into the so first of all, we did a composite course of all the courses, like of all of our favorite holes. You know, the first, our favorite first hole, our favorite second hole, all that.
Colin had good too.
Yeah, Colin had two holes, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But then we go into the clubhouse afterwards. It's a really cool clubhouse. It doesn't look like much on the outside, and you get in there, and it's, you know, all this old wood, and George's wife was in there.
And
yeah, and we're asking her if she plays at all. She's like, oh, not really anymore. Turns out she's won the club championship there 17 times.
Yeah, I think 18, not a shorter one, and yeah, including a run of 11 out of 12 years, in 8 in a row, I believe.
Yeah, just ignorant stats.
Mrs. Finley, I think, broke her run. It was
tragically.
Yeah.
I think she was having a kid that year, though, right? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. They have a pool table right there when you walk in. There's just, you know, some locals hanging out, having a drink. It's right on the beach.
Like, if there's one thing, there's one entity in golf that I want to support and get it to thrive, it would be Colin Golf Club.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I'm so pumped. That's already my favorite episode of the travel series.
Yeah. It's going to be a really good one.
And again, I'm not sure we could have caught it under better conditions,
yeah, right,
just with the light and the weather and everything.
But that was one too, that even if you had 30-mile-an-hour winds, the course is so short that
that'd make it more fun.
Yeah,
I mean
you're not just getting beat up. It's so wide open that, you right, know, if we were playing Cruden Bay or Castle Stewart or, you know, one of those on a day that, you know, people just get eviscerated by wind and rain and stuff, like, that probably wouldn't be very fun. Playing Cullen in horrible conditions probably would only make it maybe not better, but it would still be a good time.
And that sunset?
Oh.
Ooh-wee.
All right.
And then we hopped in the car. We put the top down on the convertible.
And we went over to, what was it, like 15-minute drive over to Anstruther?
Yeah.
Oh, no. We forgot about Anstruther. No, that was after Ely. We went to Anstruther.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Shit.
We had some chippy.
Yeah, it's a bit of a wee chippy down there in Anstruther.
Okay, yeah. My bad.
That's great. Just the best fish and chips in the UK, according to them.
Yeah. It was phenomenal.
Which was good. Certainly the best that we had.
Oh, yeah, we drove up to Elgin.
We drove to Elgin and stayed at this place, St. Michael's Guest House, which...
That was the night we went to the wild Indian restaurant,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, the Spiced Tandoori.
Yeah, which was in an old cathedral, like a giant cathedral, and it was an Indian restaurant. It was
and we asked them what it was prior, and they were like, it was a nightclub.
Originally, they're... Yeah, it was originally a nightclub. I'm like, yeah, originally, I don't think it was a nightclub.
I was like fishing for the story, like, how'd you guys get this from the church? Like, what was that process like? He's like, oh, I don't know, it was a nightclub before this.
But yeah, so basically driving west along the Firth of Murray, and we're driving past all these Scotch distilleries, and you can see the mountains of the Highlands in the distance. And I mean, it's light till 11:30 at night too. So that was one of the more enjoyable drives I've ever had.
We crashed there in Elgin, and then we woke up next morning and went out to Castle Stewart. So
St. Michael's Guest House was delightful, by the way. We were only there for like 6 hours, but it was
very probably pretty. My biggest regret is not being able to stay for breakfast. We just had to be on the road too early.